Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buddy, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, Bankin' One, for when Gina doesn't want to. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
You made it sound like when Gina doesn't want to do banking, like go to the ATM machine and get money out.
Well, like for ATM phone machine.
No one wants to do that. Did it.
I doubled it up.
Wow.
There it is. Well. First off, who are you, first person who talked?
I am Robert Clark Chan.
And we are joined by the rest of the cast of a wonderful podcast. It's called AE Double Back. I can't believe I've never been on this show, Robert Clark Chan.
I mean, yeah.
What's going on? I watched a pay-per-view with you just to talk about it on the show, and I will not stop mentioning this fact, because then I just never came on the show. I never got invited.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up with that? Yeah, anyway, welcoming us also is the rest of AE Double Back. First off, we have Teresa Gumprecht. Come on.
Hello. I'm a person, and here I am.
There you go. And I believe you've been on the show before, as has our other guest. He was on a G.I. Joe episode. I believe the Viper was coming. Mr. Ooh. Calder Hallbrook is back.
Why is Teresa first off?
I don't know. She comes before H?
Calder, I just wanted to do you last. I don't know.
I got done.
That's it. So first off, y'all, you guys are on a show together. I say guys in the colloquial, terrible way. Talk to me about AE Double Back. Sell the people of Knowing is Half the Podcast why they should be listening.
Gosh, that's a really good question.
Do you like AEW? Do you like hearing podcasts about AEW that are nearly as long as the show itself? And perhaps you should listen to us.
We're commercial free, and the AEW has commercials, so really we offer more minutes than they do. I think,
regardless, sure we have commercials.
Oh yeah, unless you get.
I didn't realize it until I listened to us once. I'm like, where the hell do these commercials come from? Yeah,
that's what you get. We have commercials. Oh, that's you. That's the service you pay for. That's not us. That's Spotify.
That is the service.
We don't have commercials. You just don't pay for premium. That's what it is.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I do pay for premium, and I still, when I'm listening, will hear commercials on certain people's podcasts. And I think it's because they are monetized. So no matter what, you're going to hear commercials, which is, I don't know. I don't like any of that. So, but as far as wrestling is concerned, if you like jokes, if you like wrestling, if you watch AEW, you know, we goof around.
There's goofing to be had.
Sometimes sing a song to song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We sing lots of songs. And Ramona always sits in my lap every time I do a podcast, and here she is.
Like, if you listen long enough, you'll hear the cat wound Teresa, and that's always fun.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I want to say here is, if you are not a fan of podcasts that are longer than the material they're talking about, why are you here?
Fair point. Fair
to
point.
Start off. Second off, this show sounds great. I think everyone should listen. Go to AE Double Back, wherever you podcast, and get your show.
Sweet.
I did it. You got the Ray bump. So that'll get you at least two extra listeners. Yeah.
Thanks,
I had to go to the doctor for Ray bumps.
Yeah, that's why I hear.
Look,
I had some sunglasses
rough.
Called Ray Bumps.
I think you might be mistaken about that, but I'm not going to press further.
I'm pretty sure they're called Ray Bumps.
There it is. So we are watching. Now I got some questions here. We're watching a show called Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills. Episode name: The Glitch. Episode 32. of 40 that they made in the only season to exist of this show, what is this? Where did it come from? Who do I blame?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's the thing. We've got this big list. And when something comes up that I'm like, I've never heard of that before, you know, a cartoon or something like that, I'll put it on the list. And then at some point when we need new episodes, I'll go look to see if something's available. Because sometimes some things like there's a Thing cartoon from the 70s that I can never get a hold of.
Oh, Thing Ring, Do Your Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's a segment in a bigger show. And I can't scratch together the, you know, like a full episode. So that's probably not going to happen until something pops up. And sometimes things get on the list because I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I saw Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills. I'm like, okay, well, they're ripping off Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and they're ripping off friggin' Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
That's really
this has got to be the worst.
And Beverly Hills.
And Beverly Hills 90210.
Quick rep.
And Alien, the Alien franchise. Yeah.
And tattoos. Yeah. They're just trying to get super cool tattoos. Cool. Teenagers, cool.
And,
aliens, cool.
Boy.
Fighters, cool. And it was like, what, the 90s? So Beverly Hills, cool.
Are you,
why,
are you sure
why didn't Beverly why didn't yeah. Beverly Hills' famous NIMBY attitude protect us from this show?
Because they did not film it in Beverly Hills. They were nowhere near
Sherman
Beverly
Oaks.
Hills. This is like, it is exactly as advertised. If you look at that, you're like, oh, they ripped off a bunch of stuff. I'm sure they spent about $15 on set deck, and this is going to be an atrocity. In many ways it is, mm-hmm. but also like it's a paycheck from some people who, you know, are talented, and they're just like, you're going to give me how much money to do this? Okay, here we go.
I get to be on the show. Sweet.
I come from a world now. We live in the future now, in the year 2024, as we film this. Sorry if this comes out in 2025, but we live in a world where like Netflix will air like 6 episodes of something, and then not enough people watched it in the first hour it dropped at 3 a.m, so they just cancel it, so they don't have to pay for it anymore.
Yeah,
and this in the 90s got 40 episodes.
Yeah.
This got as many episodes as like Better Call Saul, and I just don't feel okay about that.
To be fair, they put about as much money and effort into it as one episode of Better Call Saul. So, you know, you're getting like roughly the same quality if you did combine them all.
Think about
I don't
it.
Know if your math checks out there.
I think
cable?
If you do a quick Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills to Better Call Saul calculation in the Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills to Better Call Saul calculator at Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills to bettercallsaulcalculator.com, you will find that it is roughly a 40-to-1 ratio.
So,
this show will never end.
All right.
It's interesting because, you think about it, like networks, the fact that they got 40 episodes out of it is incredible.
I mean, I'm
sure networks do not allow things to find an audience anymore. Seinfeld, famously, they let languish because it was trying to find an audience. And eventually, not only did it find it, but of course, it turned into what it is. But like, they used to do that, give shows room, or maybe they didn't have something for a certain period, for a certain time of day, and if it was cheap enough, they're like, great, we'll just throw this in there.
Look, this was made by Deke.
Yes,
in
it was
bad years of Deke, and I'm reasonably certain it wasn't like, hey, let's give these guys a 13 episode run, see how they do. Oh, they're responding well, let's give them more episodes. They're like, here is a check, get as many episodes out of this as you can.
Yeah.
Go. We don't care.
Officially, Better Call Saul, I just looked it up, got 63 episodes. So it's not quite as disparaging. But look, I'll just compare it to Firefly then, all right? It's just, it really upsets me that this is where we are as a people. This is where we are as a culture. And to me, and I agree with some of the things, but I mean, at its heart, this is a pure 1990s Mighty Morphin Power Rangers ripoff.
Yeah.
About people becoming like, it's using Godzilla tech from the 50s of let's just put somebody in a suit and then we'll put fake buildings around them. And oh boy, these are the fakest buildings I've ever seen in my entire life.
They didn't even bother with a GD green screen.
Didn't even bother.
Put up what do you call that? The background.
It's the backdrop.
Put up a backdrop.
Step and repeat.
You know what? If it was a step and repeat, I would have a little more respect for them.
Yeah, that would be cool.
This was like a 10x10 space that they did all of their moves in.
And they didn't really even move through it properly.
They posed, and then effects came out of their weapons. They fell down when they were hit. And then they did the splits inexplicably in the air like 1,000 times.
Correct. I just wrote here, unnecessary gymnastics. Unite!
This is like
what this show's about.
Gymkata dipped in glitter.
That's a very, very good assessment.
You know, this generic version of Power Rangers might be the show that my grandpa could have watched, because one time he was changing the channels and he stopped on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and kept watching it. And I was like, oh my God, am I going to watch Power Rangers?
Oh.
I was thinking to myself. And then my grandpa was watching it and then he turns to me. There's like this scene with some robot thing. And he's like, I better change the channel. This is going to give me nightmares.
Oh no. Well, I feel bad for his nightmares. I just wrote here, first off, and the first thing I want to mention, near as I could tell, none of them have any tattoos.
They do.
Well, that's what the glowing thing was, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a tattoo. That's like what a beautiful mind thought he had in his arm.
It's an alien tattoo.
I didn't realize that was the tattoo that was the namesake of the show until after. It was like about 15 minutes in, and I think somebody says like, "Hey, our tattoos are flashing." I'm like, "Wait, that was a
It's an alien tattoo on the muscles inside, so it's not on the skin. It's tattooed on their muscles.
That's cool.
I wanted all of them to have big dope ass tattoos.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Right?
They don't even need to be dope. They just be like 90s. You could have like the tribal stuff all over. You could have like a little dolphin on ankle. Just like all
butterfly.
The yes.
Fucking oh, you're gonna get the Seven Up spot logo guy with the sunglasses. Please, you're gonna get them all.
Maybe a cobweb on the elbow.
Can we just change this entire episode to commercials that I miss? Seven Up, California Raisins.
I don't consider what they have. I wanted them to change and then have like sleeves like every chef I've ever met. That's what I wanted.
Yep.
I wanted them to all look like the bear. Is that asking too much?
I guess I wanted one of two things, either a tattoo in an obscene place or an obscene tattoo in a normal place.
Mm. Thank you.
Nice.
I never understood that. People who get like naked ladies on their legs tattooed. That's indecent.
Pretty cool.
Why?
You have to go out in public and you have naked people on your arm. There are children around.
Maybe you want to dress it up. Maybe like your socks pull up just so.
Oh, and then you pull it down to like just above her nipples.
You know what? That's decent. I'm okay with that.
You know what I mean? She's wearing a dress now. She anyway, like one of those like pens that you flip upside down. Anyway, okay. So the first sentence.
Yes.
Are we done yet, Master? And it's like some crow thing.
Patience. Oh, this was maybe the best character in the show.
He was the best character in the entire show. We start off with our bad
phenomenal
guys,
lead in.
And
I had to
look it up. His name is Evil Emperor Gorgonus. Plus his sidekick puppet henchman, Lickner.
Anus? Lickner Anus?
Yes.
Come on.
That is what they were called. Mm-hmm. And I just wrote here, more weird puppets in kids' shows.
If
Salacious Crumb taught us anything, That shit works.
Totally works.
Well, I the bad guy's name wasn't Voldak. I thought that was Voldak.
Who was Voldak?
Like the right hand man, the dude he sends down to.
Yeah,
that's Voldak.
Is the monster they're fighting.
Okay.
I thought it was Voldak too at first, and then I had to look it up because the end they're like, "We beat Voldak in battle," and I'm like, "But I thought he was." I got to look this up.
I had to rewatch that opening part because I looked away just long enough to get confused.
You looked away just long enough to get happy and remember that forget to watch this.
Like your body wants to look away, but because of the show, I was forced to watch it. And so I went back to make sure I caught everything. And I'm glad I did because, at first I thought the main guy was the guy that then goes to some random city.
But by the way, like something that I really appreciated and found amusing was at the very top of the broadcast, we get this like sports telecast like intro. Like today, the tattooed teenage aliens fighters from Beverly Hills are facing off with Voldak, and it just felt like they were talking about the Bills and the Dolphins.
As God is my witness, I will never understand the logic of that. I don't remember being a child that was so dumb or easily influenced that something like that would change my mind. Like, presumably that thing's there so that like some kid's flipping around or they just got done watching the last show and, you know, like this new thing's coming on. They're about to change it. And then this comes on and they're like, oh, I want to stay and watch this thing. Because there's... What is in that would make you want to stay?
No, it's just a reminder.
Remind themselves what they were doing.
Yeah, I used to use those to be like, oh, thank you for reminding me. I don't want to watch that.
They got to turn that shit off.
Yeah,
you don't. Yeah, you want to lure them in, hopefully with like a rockin' intro song, but failing that, which. This show clearly does.
This show has such a long intro, but it's very 90s, very like I'm explaining every single plot detail in the opening song.
Could we hear some of the opening song? You know I love to hear the songs. I'm not going to lie, it's kind of a banger.
It is not
kind of a banger.
Not even a banger.
It seems a half like, banger.
It seems really hard to get that title into some kind of a time signature.
I mean, kudos for maximum effort there, but that's it. That's where it stops. Yeah.
He did have to extend some measures in order to really work it. And I, you know what, as I watch it, I just wrote here, I guess some guy's getting summoned, I don't know. There was a whole thing of a lot of words that didn't seem to really mean anything. Like they were trying to explain away how all this works. And in my head, I'm like, who gives a shit? Just put a guy on the planet and let's fight him.
I mean, and then they do the transformation. Is it four times?
I believe four times. Yes.
So there, I mean, why even bother with the story?
It's like the entire show, you already watched it in the credits.
Yeah, exactly.
But here we have a bad guy. He says, I will be reprogrammed. And then he reprograms his arm to then summon his robot dude, whatever he is, Voldak, and says, give the Galactic Sentinels.
It's not Voldak. Please don't.
I said Ball Voldak. Sack. I said Voldak.
Don't say.
Isn't it Voldak?
Huh? Don't say dick suck. That is
oh my God.
He's like, give the Galactic Sentinels the shock of their lives. And I was like, well, I'm glad to know who they are. I'm assuming those are the tattooed teenagers. And bling, bling. Swords with lightning bolts. It was very random. That's all the robot did. Or I'm assuming he's a robot. I don't know what he is.
Great question. I want to say he's a robot because he talks about like the programming and the upping the programming or something. You know, he comes out and he's standing amongst these, I guess they're buildings. Look, I'm going to be generous and say this is a cityscape that he is standing in. You really got to see it for yourself. It's some of the cheapest things that I've seen since, you know, HR Puff and stuff. quite frankly.
No, HR Puff and stuff is fucking leagues better than this nonsense.
No, I mean, you are correct. HR Puff and stuff is Better Call Saul when compared to Tia 2 Teenage Alien Fighters Beverly Hills. But the other thing I noticed is that this is really seemingly to me, this is a show for the dance kids. Kids who like dancing and the gymnastics and that, and they need their own action show too. And this is it.
Is it?
It's a lot of posing. It's a lot of jumping. It's a lot of splits in the air. It's a lot of, not a lot of fighting.
Well, here's, no. I mean,
West Side Story in my middle school had more better fighting than this.
Yes, but also to have good fight sequences, you need a choreographer. You need skilled martial artists, mm-mm, or you could get four actors from Van Nuys.
Mm-hmm.
They are not the same people that were doing all the sequences, though.
No.
Same Wait, with what? Like Power Rangers. So, like, you could technically hire anybody and just cut in those scenes.
Given the level of artistry we're seeing here in these fight scenes, I believe it makes a lot more sense that they would hire professionals for those roles, but
that's not who the actors are
reflected on the screen.
Yeah, I guess it, like, the people in the fights just seemed beefier. Is all
they're not the same
a
people.
Lot beefier. They yeah, were they're not much the same bigger. People.
I mean, I'm hoping that the American Gladiators got work in these roles.
Mm-hmm.
Once American Gladiators went off the
air, it's very stylized. Their motions were so stylized, similar to Power Rangers. And you know, Power Rangers is just a Japanese show that they cut American scenes in, right?
How dare you?
What? So it's like, what if they did the same thing with this? They found a spinoff, some knockoff from, I don't know where. Could be Japan, could be somewhere else.
No, this is 100% American made.
Well, no.
That's embarrassing.
I'm saying
I don't take pride in that.
They cut in. They bought the rights to some shit and then like cut in those scenes into this American show that they made.
No, because if it were, then it would have shown up in the Wikipedia. It was like, this is footage. It was cut from, you know, Hyper Sentai Fighter, whatever.
I want you to show your work.
It is not.
Scour that page.
It is fucking deep.
Scour Google.
It is deep, and it was aired on USA Cartoon Express for 1 year, and then it disappeared. It disappeared for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is so bad that it's like, how many shows just get rerun and rerun because they're cheap? Fucking put it on. We got 24 hours.
But you have to reach a threshold before you get reruns.
They were so bad that they ended up on the Cookie Jar Toons block on this TV from 2011 to 2012. I've never heard of this TV. I feel like they probably didn't last much longer than the
everyone was trying to figure out how to get around cable and how to get around network.
Yeah.
And so internet TV was going crazy.
So you're saying that the show could have saved.
The FCC is like, wait a minute. If we do this for the people, we could eventually take down cable, but then rake in all the money.
So a couple of things to add here as I go through my little bit of deep dive is the voice of Emperor Gorgonus was played by Ed Gilbert, I knew I recognized the name, so I did a little dive. We have a G.I. Joe connection. Ed Gilbert on the G.I. Joe cartoon show is most famous for playing General Hawk, ladies and gentlemen, leader of the Joe team. Emperor Gorgonus.
I have to say, there's another voice that comes up later. I really want to say it, but I want to wait until we get there. Does it matter if we jump to it?
I mean, I clocked it, and then I was like, wait a minute, who's that voice? Who's that voice? And then I was like, oh, I got it. You're talking about Nimbar, right? The blob thing?
Yeah, the blob. Otho from Beetlejuice.
Yep.
Oh, snap. So we got some real pull here. We got Otho, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what? Yeah. Honestly, this cast is better than Love Actually. I think Ray will agree because Ray doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Given this episode, I'm going to say specifically yes. And also, how dare you? Playing by Heart has a better cast than Love Actually. Did we even talk about that on the show or was that pre-show?
Oh, I don't even remember.
I'm going to just say it right now. I'm going to start this fight. Love Actually, great cast. Nobody's going to argue. Playing by Heart, better cast. Better cast of an entourage of people in that movie. And that's my favorite of the wacky, lots of storylines, comedy movies. I like both. Playing by Heart, better movie, better cast. Papa John's.
I may watch it just because Gillian Anderson's in it. And
if I can't win you with Gillian Anderson, I don't know what's going on.
But also, like, there are not many names past that.
There's a love between Angelina Jolie and John Stewart, if I remember this correctly. That's why those two are such famous friends, like, way later. Then you would be wondering, why would these two people even know each other?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
It's perfect. Yeah, it's great.
Is this pre-Hackers?
This is post-Hackers. No. I want to say Hackers was 95. This is 98.
Post-Hackers, pre-Daily Show.
This is post-Foxfire?
Yes.
I'm going to say. I don't know that. I do know it is post-Firefox.
Mozilla.
How old do you have to be able to get that reference?
Man, I love that game.
Go ahead and tweet at us.
I thought that was the coolest.
Nobody's watching the tweet.
So we show up, though, to a voter party. So we see the sword guy with his lightning bolt sword. And then we're at, like, a voter party. And these straw boat hats with, like, the little ribbons on them, that I don't know what era that comes from. But that is, like, such a weird trope. Nobody wears these, right?
No. The last time you've seen it is on an episode of
Mark
Simpsons,
Twain.
And there's no other. That and any Mark Twain revival. That's
I think I saw them in Boardwalk Empire.
I think it was probably too early for Boardwalk Empire.
I like those. I like the foam. I like the foam election hats. Let's bring them back for 2024.
So
there would be no celebrations on the night of the elections.
Tattooed teenage alien fighters from Beverly Hills, his mom is the mayor.
She's running for mayor.
Well,
is she re-election? I was confused about that.
I think she was running for re-election.
Okay.
It was something like that.
If you both say it, I believe it. Trust me, I missed details.
He is rich and makes a big deal out of it.
Asshole is what he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is he not like in the Bulk and Skull role here?
Somebody watched Power Rangers and was like, these people are all too nice and they like each other. Let's be the Marvel to their DC and create characters with internal strife like the Fantastic Four. And they don't actually like each other and all that. And turns out you kind of need to be good at writing that to make it work.
Can we like run down what their deals are at this point? Because there's the rich one guy, the rich guy.
There's the popular girl. There's the girl that says she can't pay me. You wouldn't be able to pay me to get involved in politics. She thinks politics sucks. She's sort of like a very generic alternative girl. Yeah.
She watched like three episodes of South Park and decided that caring wasn't cool anymore.
Well, and she was like, you couldn't pay me to get involved in politics. Ugh. And
wait, is that the Ally Sheedy role?
Wait, the mayor's son then says, how about I give you a dime to keep quiet then?
Yes, yeah, like, actually, I have that sound 410, Chan. If we could hear that whole sequence, this was horrifying.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe what I was hearing on this show.
I mean, let us remember, this is 95, so this is... this is a post-Heather's world.
However, it's a very impressionable age time for some of us.
All these politician types are setting off my hypocrite alarm. You know, you couldn't pay me $1 million to have anything to do with politics.
How about a dime just to be quiet?
Yeah. Yeah.
She says, as she attends a an election party.
Well, it's not her fault.
It's not?
One of her best friend's mom is there running.
You couldn't pay me $1 million to be involved in the election, but I'll be here for free.
Well, I mean, I was confused. Were they at their school?
I think they were at their house.
That's really
but it can't be because different people were hosting. Okay, real quick. So we have four characters,
right,
and they're all on a team together, and their gimmick is they have to act, I guess, like they don't know each other or they legitimately don't like each other. I didn't really understand what the vibe
was. There's tension. There's tension.
Otho is putting together a team, he's not going to be looking for people to get along. He's going to be looking for drama.
So you got the mayor's son, who's a rich asshole. And then the annoying girl from the school papers there to interview him. She asks him a question. He starts to answer it. And she immediately goes, blah, blah, blah. I don't even care. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Well, she wants.
And then the guy is like, I need my computer back. She's like, let me finish the paper and then you can have it back. And I'm thinking to myself, this is 1995. That's a massive computer.
Yeah.
It's not a laptop. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. I thought that too. Like, it takes two people to carry a computer, monitor, and all the accoutrements. Maybe three people in this era.
Your monitor, what do you mean I need it back?
In 1995, that laptop would have been about half the size of a briefcase, and it would have been the coolest
fucking
thing.
Technically, there was a laptop, but they were like not like laptops now.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
Get out of here.
This kid.
I think I remember seeing one
with neon colors on them.
This
but there's
is,
a different one
all about the information superhighway, which I don't think the term internet was widespread yet.
Not 95. Nope.
So this is a time where I guarantee you he has a laptop and thinks he's the coolest shit in the world.
It's probably more of like a word processor than anything else.
I mean, yeah, but you could play Snake on it. You can play fucking Daleks on it. What more do you need? It's 1995.
The power of a Nokia phone from 2001.
We're still going to grunge concerts, man. You got shit to do.
Also, like, they have an entire conversation between a shitty rich kid and shitty newspaper girl about how being popular is such a grind. Oh, I hate having so much money and people wanting to be around me. I sometimes just want to sit down like you peasants.
Yeah.
And I hated them. I hate these people.
It wasn't great. But then I was just trying to think of like what shows were like at the time and like why it might be they're written like this. I mean, 90210, they don't all get along. For some reason they hang out, but they don't necessarily like each other. That's the weird thing, right? They don't make any other friends ever.
Look, I've been hosting this
playing
show
nice and started getting real.
Thank you.
I've been hosting Knowing Is Half the Podcast for 9 years, and we crossed that a long, long time ago.
You know what? You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Oh, Ramona.
We're at 5 years, the AE double back, and I think we're approaching that time.
I don't know.
We've skirted it once or twice. There were times when we were like, you can hear in one or more of our voices, we do not want to be there. Like, thing is irritating the shit out of me. But it will get worse. I promise you, it will get worse.
You got to push through that until eventually somebody needs somebody to cat sit or whatever. And you're like, I guess I trust these people I've been working with for a decade.
Here's my house key. Don't drink all the booze.
All right, so their tattoos.
And I did, and I drank all his booze.
So their tattoos go off right at the thing, and they're like, "We got to find a portal." But the mom's giving a speech for her election,
they have
to be back in 30 minutes.
I thought they were going to pay that off, and they
did
not.
Well, the show itself only lasts 30 minutes, right?
No, they did because the portal was in the parking lot. And we get the intro sequence to like their, you know, Power Ranger shit. And I have a timestamp here at 5:20. I would love to hear because I thought I understood what their deal was as they started like shouting like their catchphrase, their word of power. I don't know. But then like halfway through, I'm like, wait, what's going on anymore? Can we hear that a little soundbite of them getting ready? Because they do it a few times in the show.
Scorpio!
Taurus!
Centaur!
Apollo!
Okay, wait a minute now. Yep. I understood Scorpio and Taurus as like, you know, astrological signs.
Yes.
And then suddenly we got Centaur, which is definitely a mythical creature that is not one of those. And then we get Apollo, who's like an ancient god. What is happening in this headcanon?
Well, I think, isn't, not Taurus, what was the Centaur? Isn't that also a star thing? And same thing with Apollo? Apollo's either.
Is it?
I don't think so.
A moon?
Constellations. Constellations.
Isn't it a moon?
It's not a moon.
It's a space station. That's.
I don't know. That's.
It feels like at some point they're like, let's do all zodiac signs, and then someone was like, dude, we can't make the black kid like a bull. Greek god of the sun. Great, Apollo. And then they were like, well, since we're already in that headspace, we're just kind of like drifting mythology wise about like
centaur is a small solar system body that orbits the sun between Jupiter and Neptune.
It's not one of our 12 zodiac signs though, we're headed.
But that's what I'm saying. I think Centaur and Apollo, they're like planets or moons or something.
And then it's like doing an improv scene with me where the first two people set up a beat, but I wasn't paying attention. So I just shout whatever like comes into my head. I'm just saying, I don't improvise.
No. The problem is that a centaur is basically a kind of asteroid. It's not like a named thing like Scorpio is the constellation, you know.
Well, there's one that orbits a specific part of our solar system, though.
There is a centaur constellation, I want to say. This is not interesting.
No, it's not. You know what?
No, we're nitpicking.
We're nitpicking. Yeah, you're right. None of this is interesting.
We don't want to talk about the show, so we're finding even less interesting things to talk about.
Welcome to AE Double Back.
That's its charm.
Let's just jump into it because they stand on their Star Trek teleporters, right? Their beaming device, and that apparently causes them to get really, really big, like monster sized in the city, like the size of skyscrapers, and then they can conjure hand-to-hand weapons, like a ninja star that folds up like a pair of scissors for some reason, or I don't know, like a sword or a mace or something. And then they hold them above their heads and then gingerly wait for the special effects to kick in, which then shoots beams of light, which blow up the bad guy.
Yeah.
And all the weapons shoot laser beams because reasons, and then they win.
Now, okay, so this is interesting, or this is where it gets interesting, because they apparently, during that portal jump, they got super powerful, way more powerful than normal, and then they go back. They went back home, and suddenly someone had already won the mayor's race, and it's somebody else.
Yes.
So they've been ported back to a different universe. And why did I write down bimbos from cyberspace? Like, that's something someone said, and I'm like,
someone said that.
You know what I mean? I'm like, wait. I didn't bother to go back to figure it out.
I believe that was the name of the dude's poetry book, but that's not until the second universe.
Yes, that's the poetry book. Yes.
So we get to a gist. Essentially, there's another mayor speech happening. It's a different person who, now the election is over, that person won alternate multiverse. And also,
Ray, we need to take a moment because Teresa's legs have been punctured by Ramona.
Oh, okay.
She was very serene, and she's decided that this is the witching hour.
Her eyes are completely black, and now I must hide under a blanket.
It's over.
She's gonna murder
normal cat
me.
Stuff, really, right?
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bad scientist!
I've done it! It's dissected alien! And it's
gross!
You take his insides out and put them back in!
Too gross!
Yuck!
That's disgusting!
He's a real slime bucket!
Mm-hmm. Yuck!
Yuck.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. Somebody else is mayor. The election's over. Rich kid, now his wallet is empty for some reason, even though he was took it with him, I assume. I don't know.
Oh, hold on. Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the blonde girl, her thing is to spew 90s slang in a really outre way.
Outre, really?
Strange to Hinky.
Hinky. And that is when we get to, it is, I apologize, it is in this universe.
I'd like to read from my latest book, Memos from Cyberspace.
Thank you.
Memos, not bimbos.
Oh.
I heard it as bimbos this time. So,
but we are going to listen to the whole thing because it's deep.
There's a flash of memory. Kilobytes. Kilobytes. Blank the screen. Boot your mind. See yourself on the mezzanine.
That's it. That's it.
On the mezzanine?
Blank the screen, boost your mind, see yourself on the mezzanine.
I don't even hate that, if I can be real with you. Sounds like my stuff from around that same era.
It's straight out of Strange Days.
What I don't understand is, as we establish later in the episode, the universe they go back to changes, but they themselves don't change, which has
Except
its own set of problems.
They do sort of change.
Yes, they do.
The rich guy is now poor.
Well,
and he's
me.
A janitor.
But they retain their memories. You know,
but
except
Swinton
for
is a fucking poet.
Where does this poetry come from? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because he suddenly knows it, unless he had this walking in the door and already knew it. Did they just put this book in front of him? Because we established later with this same character, he's still there. The world changes around him. He has to adapt quickly.
He's the one running for mayor this time, right?
He's the mayor the fourth time we jump back. He
okay, so
is the mayor.
Was this his dad that was running this time? It was something like...
It was a different lady the second time.
Oh, a different lady.
Maybe the show knows who she is.
Right.
I didn't. Excuse me. He's the mayor the third time.
Big
cameo later. I don't want to ruin it right now. So
honestly, the reason why I picked this episode.
Oh, no, and you were correct. I was like, my mind is blown. So the blonde girl is now the popular girl, and she's lecturing us all about how hard it is, and that's weird. The rich kid is now a janitor. The annoying chick from the newspaper is no longer popular. No one cares about what she has to say. We are clearly in an alternate dimension, and the white rich kid basically says, I hate being poor and having to work. And I'm like, I think you're learning the wrong lesson here, buddy.
Yeah.
They do live in Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills. That's where I want to be.
Gimme, and Beverly. Look, it's Pinkerton or get the fuck out. Let's move on.
Mm. No, that song was very popular as I was moving to Los Angeles to live here. So it's very special to me.
Oh, that's why you moved? You heard that song and you're like, I'm getting it.
No, I was already planning to move, and then it got popular like a month before my departure, and I heard it all the time. And I was like,
I was
going to
go there before Weezer had that song.
Yeah. Is the universe talking to me, or am I just a poser now?
Everyone's a poser.
Yeah, both can be true, I suppose.
Okay.
So
they gotta
then
go
we
back.
Hear the there's then they have back to the go back and they're summoned by the blob Otho. And they need to form Nitron, but the guy stayed back that time, or did he not?
Behind. Not yet. Yeah. This time, all four are back. Oh. They all go back for the second time. They go back, and I just wrote here, Law & Order SVU would be proud because these fight scenes are especially heinous.
They're also like very short.
Yeah, super short.
So Nitron is...
He's their Voltron.
He's like a space knight. They're like knights, shining armors and swords.
I didn't realize
he's not even a space knight. He's just a knight.
Yeah,
just a normal
sword and shield and a suit of armor, but he's big.
Nitron, but he travels space.
Of space.
Nitron is not spelled Nitron like I thought.
Oh, really?
Knight.
Nitron.
I almost wrote it that way as a joke.
Oh my god!
It is a joke. But it is not funny.
And here's another question that I have, and this is a big universe question. Where do these battles take place? Because there is a kaiju-sized demon attacking the city. Four giant people show up, fight him to death. They warp back to their party. No one is talking about it.
No.
Nobody seems to care.
I think that the fights are all happening on a Roku because that's what that cityscape looks like to me.
Oh my god, what is the Roku?
Yeah, solid.
I don't know. Somewhere else, some other planet that has cities.
Yeah, everyone is remarkably chill. And I know Beverly Hills is a chill place to be. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah, it's super relaxed.
They have opinions on things too, especially giant monster fights happening nearby.
There's also a fair amount of collateral damage if this is in fact a real city, because there were times when they're shooting and they hit and these are the good guys. They're still shooting just pew, 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 just out in they're tearing down buildings, doing that.
They can't be though, because we keep going back to the same set and the same buildings are still intact, unless we're to believe that all the buildings that were destroyed are on the other side of the camera.
This is one of those things that we talk about on AE Doubleback. So, you know, here's a little preview for you if you're on the fence about going there.
I'm enjoying
it. I am okay with a match where I know the outcome. 100% crystal clear that this person is going to win over this person.
Right.
As long as they put in the fucking effort.
As long as it's entertaining.
If it's an amazing match, I'm like, thank you for, not wasting my time. Because if I know... they're going to win, and then it's just boring match. So I want these fights to be fucking good, and they're the worst. They're worse than Power Rangers by an order of magnitude.
Power Rangers fights
are fucking awful.
You guys, and you at home might be thinking to yourselves, Chan, those fights in Power Rangers are terrible. He knows what he says when he says those very correct words. I want to back up Chan 100% right now. It's shocking how embarrassing these fights are.
Yeah, it's
like I
bad.
Said, like they're so insanely short that the fact that they're also so poor and so lazy is all the more striking.
I assume that it's because of the structure of this particular episode that they're exceptionally short. There's probably normally two fights.
All right, Chan, you're going to have to watch three more episodes of this and then report back to us about what's going on.
They go longer, the quality of these is so bad that there's no way that they're any good.
I wonder if that was a behind the scenes battle where somebody was like, no, my script has to play out as written. We cannot compromise it for your fight scenes. I'm telling a story here.
Dear Lord. Yeah. And the other thing that I laugh about, I really try to think about the headspace of these things. What does evil overlord or Gorgonus think is going to happen every time he sends the same guy out against the same squad of four people who always beat him? This is a real Washington Generals moment.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you going through all this trouble to do something you know is going to fail?
Well,
it's never worked.
He has his money on the tattooed teenage fighters from Beverly Hills.
He's Holly Market will take your money on anything.
Every time, Rose. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I feel
something. Oh, sorry.
Like if it is a very normal thing for what's the character's name? Stakanus to constantly make the same mistake over and over and waste their lives.
Yeah. He reprogrammed it this time, you guys. And didn't work.
So it was supposed to do better.
Well, it was for a while.
Well, it's wild. Not at this time. He gets curb stomped a second time. Hilariously. What I love about this is that the fight sequences, the reason why you as a viewer would nominally be here, is an absolute backseat to everything else they have going on. It's like, we have to take the distraction so we can cut away, so we can cut back to the thing we actually care about in this episode, which is wild. They go back a third time now, right? Third time in the same space. And now Swinton, the black kid, his dad is the mayor.
Weird. Yes.
The lady, popular lady, is now the cleaner. Rich kid is rich again, but inflation is out of control, and it's $500 for a coffee.
That was the...
I mean, it's like, if he's rich, then like... And coffee's $500, then like, what... How much does everybody else make?
Then he ain't rich. He ain't rich anymore, is what I'm trying to say.
Honestly, one of the co-creators of the show is Jim Stahl, who made his bones in Second City, like writing for SCTV.
I see. In
terms of sketch structure, this is pretty fucking solid.
Honestly, knowing that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
This third beat, like
this does seem like it should be done at a small little theater with a bunch of kids.
Wow. Y'all, are we putting this on at the PAC Theater? Did I just hear this? This is a live show combo.
Oh man, we can do
this. This is the time that Swinton decides to stay because he was mayor or something, right? Everything was
his dad is mayor, and his life is great.
His life is great, so he's like, "I want to stay here," and everyone's like, "All right, fine." So the blob's like, "No, we need him if we're gonna defeat what's his face."
If we're gonna make Nitron.
Yeah.
If you're going to beat me, you need to form Nitron. You can't do it with three people. He's correct for wanting to stay. His life is terrible in the regular world.
Everyone sucks.
He has a laptop, okay? It's 1995. He has
somebody else's laptop. Oh, no, she has his laptop.
Yeah, exactly. Laptop. He's loaning that shit out because it is a precious commodity.
Kid, it's not going to get you laid. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
No, but a man can dream.
Yeah, I know this move. It does not work.
So the glitch, the whole theme of this episode is that every time that blob tries to get them back home, it's in the wrong universe, the wrong home.
Jesus.
And he can't figure it out. So when Swinton stays back and then when they finally come back, they're like, so what happened? He's like, everything stayed exactly the same until you guys came back. Now everything's different. And what was it? Zsa Zsa Gabor?
Nope.
Was that the last one? That was the last one.
God damn it.
Sorry.
We're not even close to there.
I thought we were there already.
You wish.
My notes really peaked.
The boring sections.
My notes really petered out.
Here's the deal. Yes, I'm just going to, the cat's out of the bag. Zsa Zsa Gabor is a cameo in this episode. She's delightful. Now, they go back a fourth time now. And there is a quote in there. These equipment malfunctions are so annoying. And I laughed out loud at just that. They get back to Swinton and they're just like, dude, you're back. And he's like, okay, I figured some stuff out. Right when you guys came back, everything changed again. Turns out I'm mayor now. And the evil is too powerful for us to fight. We need us all together. He's mayor. And so they go back to do the same fight scene they just did, except this time the heroes get absolutely wrecked. And the action has to be in quotation marks because it's basically like one of these kids knows how to do a cartwheel. So they just do a cartwheel and then jump in the air and do splits and then a laser blast and then they fly off screen. It's just,
they just
this
do
is middle
a back
school
yeah. onto a mat. That is the entirety of it.
It is rough.
I do want to point out, again, the blonde girl is the one with the 90s slang. So I hope you all remember this classic that we all used to say all of the time.
I can't believe it. Nimoy goofed again.
This is Nardicular.
This is Nardicular.
I mean, honestly, going in my lexicon right now.
Like gnarly?
Like ridiculous?
Ridiculous and gnarly Nardo. And something else.
It's Nardicular, guys. I mean, we all know what it means. And we don't got to spell it out.
I think
out.
Tubular is in there.
Totally tubular.
Nardicular. Ridiculous, gnarly, and tubular.
That's all I can think of.
And a little Gorgonus in there.
Just I think that they were trying to be like really on the bleeding edge and anticipate what the very next phrase was going to be. And you know, not yet.
It's the same way 1960s sci-fi put all the future people in like shiny silver, you know, jumpsuits.
I do remember saying ridic. So maybe they were like gnarly / ridic. Let's just add tubular.
I like it. It's a great word. Now they form Nitron finally, which is a knight and a sword and a shield. Dear Lord, they're not even like trying to pretend it's not just a guy in a suit. And I'm here for it somehow. Nitron blows away the evil guy. Again, why did evil guy think this was going
to
work? I don't know.
He's giving Empress Decanus is giving power to what's that dude's name? Barbatron.
Voldar.
Voldick.
Voldemort. Voldek.
Voldemort.
And he's getting more powerful, but through this accident of Otho, he's making the tattooed kids more powerful. They keep switching universes because the internal gyroscope is off. The eternal gyroscope is off.
Eternal.
They're getting more and more power. And once he fixes it so they can go back to their universe, they get depowered. And that's when Fuckface beats them.
Right.
And they need to form. They didn't form Voltron yet. They will the next fight.
This is where I got it right here, because they blast him away as Voltron, and the portal's fixed. And if I can get one more sound poll, it's at 1955. And I just wrote this as just another wild thing. Just weird dialogue in this show.
Yes.
And girls, we have to achieve that the jewelry store should be open 24 hours a day. After all, we get much more jewelry in the night than in daytime. Let's face it, darlings.
She also had a great cop slapping joke in there.
There was
a cop slapping joke.
That's what she did. Zsa Zsa Gabor, if you didn't know, if you weren't paying attention earlier, she is in a role that will surprise you, because Zsa Zsa Gabor is the mayor. And they look around, they're like, I don't know, that's fine. We'll just stay here.
That is a little concerning that Otho is like, fuck it. Close.
I mean, there is nothing more 90s.
But no, let's give it up for one of the patron saints of ACAB. Zsa Zsa was doing it before it was cool.
True.
It was very uncool when Zsa Zsa was doing it.
It was
quite
like,
honestly.
Oh my God. She's
And now,
a
you
cat.
Know, you know, you got January 6th, you know, I mean, Zsa Zsa really built a legacy with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, it's nothing. It's child's play, what she did compared to what we witness now.
Yeah. It's a good thing Zsa Zsa wasn't at the Capitol that I'm aware of.
Let's not explore that.
Can't confirm or deny.
One of the main cast of Mr. Show showed up, I'm like, oh, fuck, all bets are off.
Well, good you know news. That where David Johnstone like goes, Zsa Zsa usually follows.
Two are connected at the hip.
I've heard that.
You know, I got one word for that. Nardicular. That is the truth right there. Well, that is that's the end of the episode, too. Like, that's where they leave us, no and more. That's fine.
Wait,
that's,
do you know who else was at the Capitol? Gronk.
Was he?
Yeah.
Gronk?
I mean, I'm not
Chris Jericho's wife was there.
Ooh. Gronk was there. He got in trouble. I think that's why Disney severed ties with him.
Oh, Gronk from
not Rob Gronkowski. This baby
Gronk from The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, baby, Gronk from The Emperor's Gronk. New Groove.
Oh no, Patrick Warburton.
Yeah,
not Patrick.
That would make me very.
Who's also Putty? David Putty. Don't care. Seinfeld. I know.
He was the Tick, and that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Patrick Warburton is Brock Samson, and I will hear nothing else. I have not seen anything that says, unless we're talking about a different Gronk here, not Gronk from the USAA ads. Rob Gronkowski of the New England Patriots, multi-time Super Bowl winner.
No, it's
famous idiot
from Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, thank God. You know, one of my favorite Gronk stories is, you know, Rob Gronkowski.
Gronk's New Groove. He had his own movie. Sorry.
No, you're great. I was joking. I read online somebody was just like, they saw all these USAA ads for the Naval Credit Association or whatever. If you served in the military, you get to be part of this credit union. That's their whole
thing. It drives me out of my mind that they run ads just to rub it in our faces.
Yeah. You know? It's like, fuck.
And what I love about it is I was reading online, somebody had a friend who didn't follow football at all. They didn't understand. They thought that Gronk was a character that was invented for this campaign. Which I will never not find amazing.
Love it.
Because why wouldn't you think that?
Why? Yes. If you don't follow football, and again, why would you follow football?
Why do you think this human being would exist?
Yeah.
No, like he would make sense as like some kind of an answer to Jim Varney in the old ad campaigns that he used to do.
That's exactly it. What if you didn't know that Jim Varney's Hey Vern guy played football? Mm-hmm. What if you didn't know that Ernest P. Worrell was a 2-time Super Bowl champion? You would think that was made up for those furniture commercials.
Okay, I need to talk about commercials that I miss.
Wait a minute, are we going to thumb this episode? Tape.
What? I don't know. Are we?
No.
It sounded
not
like Ray was wrapping was it up.
Terrible. I mean, I look, this is knowing it's half the podcast. We wrap it up when all of us are done. Which usually is the second we're done talking about the show, but we have guests in the house.
Ooh.
You can't just throw them out.
Yeah.
We need them
to
overstack
on the canapes.
Yeah, I'm going to go into your fridge soon.
Yeah, Chan, did you get any more booze?
Somebody make a beer run.
We definitely need to talk about some Chicken McNugget ads, maybe a little bit of collect call commercials from the 90s.
Oh yeah, Sprint.
Every time I run across one of those, I was like, oh my God, we lived in a fucking world where we had to place collect calls.
We sure
and it
did.
Was such big money. Millions of dollars were spent on ads to get you to remember like 10-10
call this number and somehow 10-10-3-2-1. The money goes to somebody else. I don't even know.
With that's starring Paul Reiser. Paul Reiser in those ads with his most evil portrayal since he was in Aliens.
Carrot so Top was in one of them.
No,
the California Raisin ads were really spectacular.
Our friend Hulk Hogan was in them as well, lest we forget.
We have
our good friend.
Our very good friend and person we agree with 100% on all issues, Ronald Hulk Hogan.
Is that his real name, Ronald?
Terry.
Oh, Terry.
It's not like I was like the Ronald. Hugest fan of Undertaker before this, but now,
Okay, stop. Stop right there. I stopped being shocked when rich and famous older white men turn out to support Donald Trump. What is shocking to you that Texas born and raised The Undertaker, who's been
Texas
famous
Braves?
For 40 years, multimillionaire, lived the life we could all dream of, that guy supports it, and you're shocked? You don't
Not
need
shocked.
Like what are we talking about?
Disappointed.
How did you not just figure it out?
You could just spend the rest of your days, because he does have a crap ton of money, just on your damn ranch. You could have any number of hot young blonde wives.
And he
you
will
could sire 1,000 children. Instead, you're doing a podcast, and
no, because you can't just walk away from the spotlight, Robert. You know what I did when I stopped wrestling, Chan? I
you
started
called me
podcasting,
Robert, and I heard that. I was like, whoa, this got serious.
This is what I'm saying. You can't just walk away from this. You need an outlet of some kind, especially if you're the freaking Undertaker. So, of course, he has a podcast. And, of course, people want to come on. And this is going to shock you guys. Probably 70 to 75% of all professional wrestlers are deeply red Republican. Surprise.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
Been in the locker room. I know. The respect for women in that room is not very high.
Yeah. I mean, that's very clear.
I mean, I hate to ruin Christmas for all the AE double back listeners out there.
Oh, no.
But that is the reality. So when all of a sudden it's like, hey, Donald J. Trump, J stands for jailbait. And he went on the Undertaker's podcast with former Republican, like mayor in Tennessee, Kane, Glenn Jacobs. And what a shocker. They all saw eye to eye on a lot of things. Donald Trump is somebody who goes back decades of bro time with the Undertaker. None of this should be surprising.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Booker T supported supported Donald Trump, for God's sakes.
I would believe it.
He let Vince McMahon say a certain word in front of him repeatedly just to go, oh, no, he did it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
To be fair, he himself said it once in a live show. So I feel like he was doing penance for that.
I mean, perhaps he was. And for the record, these are fantastic performers. These are wonderful professional wrestlers. These are some of the most athletically gifted and well, I don't know the right word would be, you know, well-oiled people. Yeah, just these people know what they're doing, and they're very, very good at it, and they're great at the craft of wrestling, both Booker T and The Undertaker, and Kane. Kane was very good at the ring.
Yes, indeed. Like,
you know, I don't hate them as performers. You know, you can separate art from artist, and maybe people can't. I'm not going to go back and be like...
I can separate fart from fartists.
Well, I would never do that. But I'm not going to go back and, like, not watch... you know, an Undertaker match or not watch a Chris Benoit documentary. And I'm not just going to miss out on these things because of what the people may or may not believe deep down.
Back up to the part about the Chris Benoit documentary that you feel
what's up?
Compelled to watch? What?
Guys, he had a lot of problems.
You don't say.
I really want AJ Styles to come to AEW. I miss AJ Styles.
He's a flat
earther,
you know.
I don't care. He still has to get on a plane.
Guys, when a bunch of men get together in a locker room environment, a lot of really dumb shit gets said. Now imagine if that was your life and you were a millionaire white guy and there were a lot of painkillers involved. Even dumber shit's gonna be said.
Talk about an echo chamber.
This is what I'm saying, right? So anyway, I've seen this go around and be like, I'm so disappointed. As Chan said, I'm so disappointed in The Undertaker. Like you didn't know.
I didn't want to have to think about it, but indeed.
The Lord of Darkness will be a Republican, Chan. I hate to break it to you.
Here's something I'm curious about. So flat earthers, when they are flying East Coast, West Coast, West Coast, East Coast, you know, one of those directions takes like maybe an hour longer. Simply because you're going in the opposite direction. How do they explain that to themselves?
Yeah, time zones.
The rest of us explain it by the fact that the earth turns. So when you are flying the other direction, you're actually like fighting against it, the turn, right? Whereas when you go the other way, like it goes way faster because, you know, it's turning the opposite direction. You know what I mean?
I do.
How do they explain that to themselves?
I believe
I don't think that they try to.
Thusly. Fake. That's fake.
Yeah, I just believe they explain it poorly, and that's good enough. Anyway, we should get out of here. Any last commercials you want to talk about, Teresa?
You know what? Maybe we could bring back some of those Dr. Pepper commercials. Those were funny.
I'm with you.
The rock star guy, he was kind of funny.
You know what I want to bring back?
I think he was on a horse once.
I want to bring back Mentos commercials where people are like breaking in concerts and stuff.
They fix their heel with some gum.
Yeah.
Finish
like
the sentence.
They're committing like crimes in my versions.
I want to pop. I want to Shasta, Shasta.
Oh,
that's very old. Do you know how old that is? That is so old. My brother used to tell me that memory because I was so young when I would imitate that commercial that I have zero memory of it. That is how old you pulled that from. How dare you assume we're all as old as you?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, Chan, you old guy.
I mean, I'm pretty much as old, so.
And what does the baby of the unit, TV's Calder Holbrook, want to bring back as far as commercials go?
I'm going to go for Barks Root Beer.
You know what? All
Barks
right.
has bite, baby.
One with bite, yeah. I'm with that. Yeah, that's how I remember that's the one bite. That has caffeine.
It's got caffeine in it.
Yeah, that's how I remember. Those
There's only one place in Disney where you can get it that I can remember anyways. It's at that pizza place in the future land.
Hell yeah. That's the type of insider Disney knowledge you can expect from knowing is half the podcast. Anyway, AE Double Back is a show you should be listening to. Everybody, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, but do it as a group, just so I don't have to introduce you each individually.
I'm not. I don't have one.
I mean, like, but the show.
Oh, AE underscore Double Back. I don't know why I did the underscore, but that's Instagram.
I think it's just AE Double Back on Twitter.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. It's X now.
X.
I don't know what that is either. but you can also find them on the Daily Stormer if you're looking.
Oh, the Daily Stormtrooper.
Robert Clark Chan, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
No.
And I don't know when this is going to air. Chan, when is this airing? Do we just banking this for a little bit and we're going to drop it sometime?
I think so. We're saving it for when Gina's like, I can't do it. Like, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah. So this might not air till 2025, but like, it's all good.
Sweet.
Just pretend like the election already happened and we lost.
Oh my God. I don't want to get in that headspace at all.
This is the alternate universe, hopefully. All right, here we go.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. Or, I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it. And we do it all over breakfast, or should I say, Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.